Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Biathlon Podcast. Gonna be a quick one today because I am losing my voice. We're gonna hope it holds out and rattle through my four biggest takeaways of the weekend because we had some fantastic races from the good old US of A. So let's get right into it. Thanks so much for joining me, everybody, for episode 87 of the Biathlon Podcast. It's Tuesday, March the 12th, and I am Will Prothero. Going to try a new format today, partly because my voice is going, partly just to speed up the old podcast here a little bit, stop droning on too much for you. I'm going to give you my four biggest takeaways of the week that was. Four shoots in biathlon, some of the races at least, and I'm going to give you my four biggest takes. We'll get into that now, and as always, you can get in touch with your reactions, predictions, or questions, and let me know what you think of the new format. You can get in touch on the Facebook page, the Twitter page, or you can email me at thebiathlonpodcast@gmail.com. Let's get straight into it, though, with my first big takeaway of the week, and that is that Emilien Jacquelin is the most fun but also the most frustrating biathlete in the world to watch because, wow, he put us in a complete blender of emotions over the last week. Incredible stuff and insane stuff in pretty much every race from Jacquelin. Started off in the men's relay, and this would be a little bit of a trend here for him. Lovely first shoot in the relay. He took the lead. He was on the second leg there for the French. Comes into the stand. What does he do? He shoots fast. Is it accurate? No, it is not. Two misses from Jacquelin. That wasn't the craziest part of this, though, because what happened to him on the final lap? As I say, he'd come into the lap. Leading after the first shoot. He came out after being on the loop there. Still, I think he was in. I think it was about 40 seconds behind the leaders. Came out with the Norwegians. 1 minute 6 seconds back. Over the last lap, losing over 20 seconds on basically everybody all the way back in seventh. France were pretty much out of that race at that point. He comes into the sprint. What does he do in this race? Beautiful prone shoot, starting quite early, really laid down the gauntlet. We had big names missing around him. Johannes Tinga's missing. The door seems open to him. What does he do in the standing shoot? 20 seconds to knock all five down. But does he knock all five down? No, he doesn't. Two more misses in the stand for Jacquelin. This time, though, pretty nice final lap. I will give him that. Didn't take the win, but it was a really decent effort. The person who did take the win, who unfortunately I won't be getting round to as much as he deserves, Eric Perreault. Huge shout out for Perreault. Absolutely fantastic racing from him. First ever World Cup victory. Well deserved. He's been having a brilliant season. Jacquelin is the top Frenchman overall now. But Perreault was for a huge chunk of the season, and I'd say he's been the most reliably impressive of the French team this season. But Jacquelin, there does well on the final lap, so banishes those demons slightly. But still, what should have been a win, pretty much given up in that one. Then we come on to the pursuit, and this was an absolutely wild one. He wasted no time getting on level terms with Perreault. Comes into the first shoot, smashes them all down. Perreault under pressure, he misses one. People behind missing as well. He's got 18 seconds over the field. He absolutely kills himself on the tracks. He gets over 10 seconds pretty much into the whole field, at least 10 seconds into the whole field. Is he going to pay for it in the range? It's high altitude. People are struggling. Nope, he's perfect again. 10 out of 10 on the prone targets in the pursuit. Big names again. Seb Samuelsson was chasing him. He fell back at the halfway stage with two misses. Big names struggling, but Jacquelin's right there up at the front. Next lap. Keeps all the gaps solid. Liegrid's chasing him, but no real time gain there on Jacquelin. He comes into shoot three, and this might be one of the weirdest shoots I've ever seen. I mean, we're going to come on to another weird shoot with Lou Jean Menot later, but she hit all five in that one. Jacquelin did not hit. He hits the first one. He hits the second one. I don't know what went through his head at this point. Either it was confidence or craziness, or a little bit of both, because he shot 2, which did go down, 3, which definitely didn't, and 4, which also definitely didn't. It can't have been longer than a second between those 3 shots. It was crazy. It was just bang, 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 and 2 of them missed. Shake of the head from Jacqueline, resets his position, looks at number 5. He shanks that one wide as well. 3 misses for him on the third shoot. But fortune was on his side in a way. Liegrid behind him, missing 1. Johannes Tingis, who we'll come on to, clear as well at this point. So we've got Liegrid leading, Johannes Tingis chasing, very, very close behind. Jacqueline 10 seconds back at this point. We come into the final shoot. Of those 3 men, who's your money on? Probably Johannes Tingis. If not, probably Sturla Holm-Liegrid. They both miss 1. Jacqueline doesn't mess around with what's not working for him at this stage. He does what he loves. He shoots fast. And does he miss again? No, he doesn't. He knocks all 5 of them down like an absolute beast. It was incredible. I have not gone from almost sort of screaming at the TV, like, what are you doing, to just hanging my head in disbelief. For those of you who've been listening for a while, you know I love Jacqueline. My favorite athlete to watch, but my God, he was all over the place this week. It was vintage Jacqueline in the best and the worst way, but I wouldn't have him any other way. That's why he's so fun to watch. Incredible racing. I mean, we haven't even got to the last lap of the pursuit, so he goes out in first, 10 seconds up on Johannes Tingis. That doesn't last long because his legs are absolutely shot by this point. Johannes catches, passes him. We've now got Taillebo chasing him. We've got Liegrid chasing him. They catch him and you think, oh, Jacqueline's done here. But no, he's not, because he gets onto the back of Taillebo. He doesn't let go of him. Sprints for the second place. Doesn't quite get it. Gets third. Beats Liegrid into fourth. Just an incredible performance in all 3 races, and incredible and terrible at the same time. But that's why we love him. Brilliant stuff from Jacqueline. And he had to lead off this episode. Takeaway number 2, we'll stick with the men. And I think that Johannes Tingis Bo has now won his 5th overall Crystal Globe, because he had a brilliant weekend himself. Very up and down in this one. The sprint not going his way. 2 misses in the prone, 2 misses in the stand. It's not often we've seen Johannes Tingis do that. He does do it every now and again, but we haven't seen that for a while. Obviously, last year, he won every single sprint. Hasn't had it all his own way this year, but he's still been pretty impressive. But it wasn't his day. The altitude may be getting to him a little bit. People were struggling all week, really, in these races. But a tough one for him in the sprint, all the way down in 17th. Luckily for him, Taillebo couldn't take the best advantage that he might have done in that race. If he'd have won that race, then we'd have been looking at a very different thing. But then we get to the pursuit, starting 17th. For a fair chunk of the race, he was hovering around sort of a minute behind. Then obviously Jacqueline has his moment of madness. That brings Johannes right back into it. But I mean, he went from 17th to 4th. Pretty much in the first half of the race. Just good, solid skiing, good, solid shooting. Every time he came into the range, you'd see him come in with a group of other skiers. He'd take so much more time before he gets his first shot off, and it paid off for him in this race. Took the win there on the final lap. He's now 62 points up on his brother. And I think with 3 races left, obviously anything can happen. He could fall, could come down with an illness, anything could happen. But barring something pretty dramatic, I think it is safe to say that Johannes is now going to be the proud owner of 5 Crystal Globes. And does that mean that we're starting to talk about him being the greatest of all time? Maybe it does. You don't know there. It could be there. We're going to have our Bjørn Dalen fans. Going to have our Martin Fourcade fans, maybe a couple of Raphael Poré fans out there as well. But I think there's going to be a growing number of people that think that Johannes Tingis is might be the GOAT. Now, that's my second takeaway. Where are we? We're coming up to 10 minutes in. Let's go on to takeaway number three, and that is that we're down to three contenders for the women's overall crown at this stage. It wasn't just the men having fun out there. There were some brilliant races in the women's as well. They started off with the sprint, and this one was a solid one. Really tough day in terms of wind. Gusting around in the range there. Obviously, all eyes were on the overall favourites, and it started off with Vitozzi, and she was reliable as ever. 5 out of 5 in the first one. Elvira, one miss for her. Skiing quicker than Vitozzi, though, but still a lot of work for her to do there. Jomino also skiing well. She got 5 out of 5. She was the overall leader at that stage. Braise Arbuchet misses one, but she was very, very quick. Simone, clear. She was the new leader. 4.3 up on Jomino. And then it came down to Tandrevold. All the pressure on her, knowing that her rivals were all going well, but she was clear as well. 13 seconds down on Simone, and it was all down to the standing chute. Vitozzi, you know what she's going to do in the standing chute? She went clear, really laid down the gauntlet for all the other favourites out there. Elvira, unfortunately, I think this was the moment that her overall challenge was done. Another miss for her, 2 on the day. She was all the way down in 28th, and she wouldn't be able to recover from that. Jean Monod, I mentioned she had a crazy shoot. This is where it came, the standing shoot of the sprint. It's hard to describe this without being able to see it, but if you imagine she's shooting left to right, she shoots the second target first. She then moves on to the fourth target, hits that second, back to the middle, gets that third, then the first target, or the furthest left target, hits that fourth, and then all the way to the furthest right target for fifth. They all went down. No idea why that routine happened. If it was an accidental hit on the first one and then she just went with it. I mean, I've never seen that. I don't think I've ever seen that before. Crazy shooting from Jomino, but she's on fire at the moment. And if it's working for you, it's working. And it definitely was for her in that shoot. Brilliant stuff. She now led ahead of Totsi there. She was 7.2 seconds in the lead. It wouldn't be enough, though, because Braise Arbuchet absolutely flying on the tracks in the sprint. She nailed all 5 in the standing shoot. That left her 1 miss on the day. 9.1 seconds up on Jean Monod, and she took a lead that she would not give up. There were 2 more big names to come, though, and of the two, who do you think was going to struggle in the stand? Out of Tandrevold and Simone, it was Simone, the former athlete not too long ago, missing 3 targets in the stand. What a turnaround for her. Really big chance missed for Julia Simone. And that left Tandrevold, all eyes on her. Overall lead really hanging in the balance. Standing shoot under question, but she nailed 5 out of 5 to beat every big name except Braise Arbuchet. The win going to Braise Arbuchet ahead of Tandrevold in second. Jomino third. Vitozzi fourth. I mean, all the big names come into play here. Simone, even with 3 misses, she got 7th. As I say, Elvira down in 28th. And we'd go on to the pursuit, and this was yet another great win. Another great race. Well, it was a great win as well. This one was all over the place as well. We had basically all of the favourites just mixing it at the front. At the start, Braise Arbuchet, Tandrevold, Jomino, Vitozzi, all going clear. Simone chasing, but she missed the 5th one. That wouldn't be all we'd see of her, though. Shoot 2, just in Braise Arbuchet's turn to struggle. She had 2 misses. Vitozzi, very rare you see her on the loop, but she was here. 1 miss for her, and Tandrevold and Jomino stayed clear and got into the lead. We had sort of 2 groups of leaders now, with Tandrevold and Jomino leading, Vitozzi and Braise Arbuchet chasing. That was at the halfway stage into shoot 3. Both leaders missed the first shot. Jomino missing. Tandrevold missing. Jomino would hit the next 4. But those standing shoot demons returned. I hate to say it, but they did for Ingrid Lamarck Tandrevold. 3 misses for her in the standing shoot. Jason Brazar-Boucher came in. She missed the first one as well. She also missed the last one. So that was two misses for her. And Vitozzi, standing shoot. She loves them. She went clear. She joined Jean Monnet at the front. And look who came back. Julia Simon, struggling early, but coming home big here. Shoot three, 5 out of 5. And she joined Justine Brazar-Boucher and Tandrevold, around 45 seconds behind the two leaders. And so it all came down to shoot four. And what's going to happen here? I mean, Vitozzi, Jean Monnet, who's the pressure going to get to? Turns out, neither of them. Jean Monnet going shot for shot with Vitozzi. Slightly quicker for Jean Monnet, but they came out together. 5 out of 5 for both of them, and it was down to them for the win. Jean Monnet won the sprint, kind of cut off Vitozzi in there. She apologized for that afterwards. Vitozzi didn't seem too bothered by it, to be fair. Took it very sportingly. So a little bit of a cloud over the victory for Jean Monnet. She sort of didn't celebrate it that much when she came over the line, but I thought it was a great win for someone who will forget, it's still kind of a youngster in this field. Vitozzi taking second place, Simon getting third. In that final shoot there, Simon missing one. That looked like it might be costly, but Justine Brazar-Boucher missed two. She ended up in seventh. And Tandrevold, she missed three in the first standing shoot. She missed three again in the second standing shoot. Hate to see it. She was down in 11th with 6 misses on the day. She was clear through the first 10. She could only hit 4 of the next 10. Really, really tough to see for Tandrevold. Coming home 11th. Great race from Njotin, I will say. She got up into 4th, Heike Groth 5th. And Tuli Tomingas, who's having a sort of quietly excellent season. 6th place, getting into the flower ceremony, out-sprinting Justine Brazar-Boucher. Could that have something to play there? We talk about the sprint at the front, Jean Monnet beating Vitozzi, possibly through ill means. How much will that play into the overall? But Justine Brazar-Boucher also losing out points there to Tomingas. All of that means that Tandrevold leads the way with 964 points. She's 73 points ahead of Lisa Vitozzi, 83 points ahead of Justine Brazar-Boucher. And with 3 races left, I think those are your 3 remaining contenders for overall Crystal Globe glory. Simon now 106 behind, and Jean Monnet 136. Jean Monnet, in a lot of ways, kind of the form athlete at the moment, but I think she's just running out of space in terms of races, really. Only there's 180 points. There's going to be 270 points on the table, so it's well within the realms of possibility. But if you look at how these races went, obviously there's other great athletes in there. Knotten, Heike Groth, Tomingas, mentioned lots of them. We didn't have a shout out to Sophie Chabot, who couldn't even compete because of troubles with her visa. She's been on great form recently and will be back for Canmore. So that's just another player to put into the field. But these races really just felt like the elite fighting at the front. Tandrevold, Vitozzi, Brazar-Boucher, Simon, Jean Monnet were just, all of them were sort of in some form or another at the front in these races. And I just can't see enough people failing in front of Simon or Jean Monnet to take the title there. In terms of who will win it, at this point, I'd love to see Tandrevold do it just because of the struggle she's going through. 73 points, that's still a comfortable gap. And when you think one of the races is the mass start, so that means it's harder to mess that one up too much because there's only 30 of you in the race. But the sprint's going to be so important because if Tandrevold has a decent sprint, a sort of decent starting point for the pursuit, that could be huge. If it's a tough sprint, then it's advantage for Vitozzi and Brazar-Boucher, I think, to see which one of them can hold their nerve because they are all definitely in it. So Simon and Jean Monnet definitely not 100% out of it, but I think we're down to 3. In terms of that race. Now, coming into my last takeaway, obviously this is the first time we have been in America in some time on the World Cup stage. And my last takeaway of the week that was is that the American fans were given a brilliant show by their home athletes across pretty much all the races. Really, really good racing from all the Americans in this one. Started off in the men's sprint. This was an absolutely brilliant race for America. Vincent Minacci, who we've mentioned a couple of times in relays this season. He's had a very good year in terms of the relays. He got things started coming on his leg. 10 out of 10 hits. He was third at the handover. Brilliant stuff from him. Sort of the fourth player in this team, I think it's fair enough to say, in terms of his pedigree. Sean Doherty next, who was the veteran of the team now. He was brilliant on leg two, coming over at halfway stage in fourth. The star of the team, Campbell Wright, he was fantastic. Got them up into the top three. And then Jake Brown couldn't quite hold on to the podium. He was up against Norath and Hoffa. And I mean, Jake Brown, excellent, excellent athlete. Had some brilliant days, of course, in the past. But Hoffa and Norath were always going to be tough to contend with. And he also had Martin Ponsiluoma chasing hard towards the end there, and he held him off. Fourth place for the Americans, just absolutely fantastic stuff in the relay. I was really hoping we'd get to see them on the podium, because that would have been brilliant. But no, great stuff from them nonetheless. In the women's sprint, obviously, all eyes are on the favourites. But Margie Fried, a name that came out of nowhere, really. 32nd in the sprint there for the Americans, getting into the points. Brilliant stuff from her. Needed to give her a shout out here in the podcast. I mean, the star of the show in a lot of ways was Campbell Wright. Just brilliant stuff from him across, as I mentioned him in the relay. We then had him in the sprint getting fifth place, was it, by the end? I believe it was. I've lost my tab that confirmed that, and I can't see it in my notes. But great stuff from Campbell Wright. As my voice starts to pack up here, and the American fans, I think if anyone, we were looking at sort of Campbell Wright and Deirdre Owen, but those smaller names, Margie Fried, Vincent Bonacci, really, really showing up big for the American fans there. A shame that we didn't see more fans there. Would have been nice if there were some stands up. I know they were saying that on commentary. But yeah, my last takeaway here, needed to give a big shout out to the Americans. And I hope that we see a similar thing from the Canadians next time out in Canmore. Emma Lunda, 14th in the sprint, wanted to give her a shout out because that's the best form we've seen her in some time. So hopefully she can recreate that in Canmore, because that's where we're going to be next for the final. Hate to say it, it's been a brilliant season, but we're on to the final races of the year. The women's 7.5 kilometer sprint on Thursday. We've then got the men's sprint on Friday. It's pursuits on Saturday. And on Sunday, we will see who will be crowned the overall champions. By that stage, it might already be decided. But we've got the women's mass start to kick us off and the men's mass start to finish the season. I can't wait for those races. Thanks for sticking with me and my rapidly declining voice. Let me know what you think of the new format. I might stick with it, might move away from it, might go back and forth from different ones there. I hope you enjoy the racing that we're going to see over there in Canmore, and I will see you next week to recap it all and bring the curtain down on what's been a brilliant 2024 season. Thanks for listening, everyone, and I'll see you down the road.